reaping. You know, what an interesting subject. And Christ always warned us about this. You can gain a great deal from the promises of Almighty God. Our Father made a covenant with Abraham concerning the people. Our Father made a covenant with David concerning the throne. God made a covenant with Noah concerning this earth. You live on it. You should be familiar with that covenant, because it holds still to this day. And don't you ever let one of these people that say the sky's fallen, the little chicken little, don't you ever let one of them get under your craw. Okay? You do have a craw, don't you? Okay. Now, so never, I mean, our Father's in charge. So I want you to open your Bibles. Let's just go back to Genesis. Let's go back to chapter 8. And let's cover this covenant God made with Abraham, with Noah rather, concerning the earth. Not the throne, not the people, but the good old eretz in the Hebrew term, terra firma, earth. And our Father keeps His word. You can count on it. Chapter 8, the great book of Genesis, let's pick it up in verse 20. The flood's over. People have landed. God's blessing. Let's pick it up with verse 20 of chapter 8. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, a place to worship, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. This is why that he was instructed to take more than two of the clean animals, okay, for sacrifice. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, which means a rest. He smelled a sweet rest. And the Lord said in his heart, listen to what he said now, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil. He knows that. He knows that there's evil people in this world. From his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. Not going to do that anymore. It's my promise. It's my covenant. Now, in the next sentence, we have seven times repetition of a polysyndeton, which means the word is and. It's just like the first chapter in the Bible. That's a polysyndeton, which means there's more meant than is written. And you have to pick up on that. It's done for what? For emphasis. Seven times in the next verse, we have this word and, which is that polysyndeton. And eight things, listen to me closely, eight things are named in four pairs of opposites. Done for emphasis. It's his covenant with the earth. So you listen carefully and don't ever let anyone rob you of this. It's your surety. It's your confidence. That you're knowing. A Christian or a non-believer could never grasp this. They're going to listen to the ways of the world rather than the promise of God concerning earth, eretz, terra firma. Okay. Here we go, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, that means as long as it exists in this dispensation of time, seed time and harvest. In other words, you're going to have a reaping and you're going to have a planting. Cold and heat. You worried about global warming? Have you ever read this? You're going to have both cold and heat. And summer and winter. You're going to have the seasons. And day and night shall not cease. And there you have the seven for emphasis. Eight things named, four sets of opposition, letting you know our God is going to pick, what are you supposed to be? Moderate. Moderation in all things. So don't get all shook up about global warming. We're always going to have cold. Why? God promised it. This is His earth. He's in charge, whether you like it or not. Man may make all kinds of claims. There will always be a sowing. And there will always be a reaping. That's why we came here. that reaping is going to take place. For some people, it's not going to be all that cheery, but it shall happen. Now, let's go to the great book of Proverbs. I want to go to the 22nd Proverb. And let's just pick a few verses here in this 22nd Proverb. Let's begin with verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Don't ever let anyone steal your confidence that God gives you, that He promises. Do you take man's word or do you take God's word? Always take God's word. That's what's important. Verse 6 reads of Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When you anchor truth and weld it down, it always proves itself out, and a wise person always comes back to it, period. That's why once you teach truth and once people absorb that truth, no one's going to shake them away from that. They're not going to let somebody rob them. They're going to stick with the Father, as they really should. Verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Don't ever borrow unless you absolutely have to. Never. If you can't afford it, you don't need it. Find a different way. Now, I'm not talking about borrowing money in business that you have to get along and so forth, or maybe beginners with your home. But when it comes to, like, if you need a certain item, don't go down and put it on time. That means you enjoy paying double. And the Ching Ching people sure like to sit there and rake it in, okay? You don't want to pay double. If anything, if you've got the tender green bargain, okay, I mean, get it down to your price, okay? Because you're always going to be a servant to the lender if you borrow. So, and there are extenuating circumstances. Work and get out of it. Okay? Usury will sink your boat, and if you don't use it wisely. He that soweth, here comes our reaping, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of anger shall fail. What it means is his anger will consume him. Just eat him up. You ever know anybody like that? There's nothing you can say or do that their anger just consumes them. They can't be happy with anything or anybody. So, why? Because you don't sow properly. If you sow that is peaceful, you're going to reap what? Peace. If you sow honesty, guess what you're going to reap? Honesty. As long as you're careful and keep people straight, you know. You're a big person, you're a Christian, a child of God, act like it, and see that things stay straight. Don't let someone take advantage of you. Christians are not second-class citizens. We are what God intended we should be, that is, children of God. So you always stand up and see that people respect you, and they will when you use this instead of your hip, okay? That's just think with your head, okay? Not with your feet. You were given a brain, use it, okay? That's what's in your forehead, use it. Now, I'm not being insulted. I'm saying these are simple, pure, out-and-out ways of life, okay? What you reap, what you sow, you're going to reap it. You sow trouble, guess what? It's coming home to roost, friend. You can count on it. Well, I just like to cut corners a little bit. Hey, they're going to cut them on you. Who said that? God did. He knows. You can't con him. You can't fool him. You can't get away with abusing him. Do it his way. Sow that is right, honest, and just with integrity. You'll always smile, okay? You'll always be blessed. Don't let anger absorb you. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Bountiful means manages good. knows how to do it, and can get along and make the best of every situation, can cast out the scorner and contention, that's the scorner against God. Cast him out, get rid of him, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Don't ever put up with a troublemaker in your family, okay? By that I mean if you have you're supposed to get along with a neighbor if it be possible. That's scripture. But if you have a scorner against God, somebody that hates God, don't go into business with them. Don't be careful even what you have to do with them. Why? They're going down, friend. They're going down. You don't want to go down with them. So, scorn always brings contention, trouble. I mean, and Satan loves to get Christians into that trap. Okay, Satan loves to get two Christians arguing over how a package of wieners are opened or how somebody squeezes a toothpaste tube. Okay, I mean, they're outstanding citizens. There they are fighting over a tube of toothpaste. Come on. You know, God expects the best, okay? So, mature. Think. Think with what you have, what God has given you to think with. Why? He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. In other words, your integrity with courtesy is going to always get you blessed, okay? And this still doesn't mean you let somebody take advantage of you. Don't get one of these Christian bleeding hearts that think you're a doormat. You're not. You're a child of God. Act like it. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. I want you to read that again. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. He just does it. In other words, a transgressor, he's not going to make it. God's going to see to it. He's going to trip. He's going to slip up. There's not a perfect crime. A crime is a crime. Okay. So do it God's way, and you'll always be blessed. Watch what you sow, because what you sow is what you're going to reap. You've got to have a mind that finds peace of mind to find happiness in this world. You find it right here in truth and knowledge from our Heavenly Father. That brings that Sabbath, which simply means rest and peace. It gives you that rest at night where you can sleep good, where you have nothing to worry about. Times may get a little tight at times, but you're going through. You're going to make it. You know why? You're a child of God. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you. Okay, let's go to the New Testament for a moment. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. Great Gospel of Mark, youngest of the writers. And we want to go to chapter 4. This has to do with the parable of the sower, but I want to catch the part that follows that. I want to get to the reaping. I want to say something about the word reaping. It's theroidzo, and it comes from theros. You know, have you ever had a theros meter? Theros is heat in the Greek, and theroidzo means harvest time because of the heat. You, this word is quite familiar to you. Maybe you know what a thermometer is? It's a thermometer. Okay, we say that like we say in English, all right? Measures heat and temperature. So it is. Theros is summer, is heat, rather. Heat provided by the sun. And theroidzo is reaping. Or harvest. Why? Because of the sun, the crop is matured, and God takes care of that. And that's a point he wants you to pick up from this. You cannot make things grow. You can sow it, and you can harvest it, but God makes it grow. Okay. this is how patience is built in. And this is how Jesus, he utilizes this to teach you patience. And unfortunately, most human beings want it now. Want it now. I want the quick stuff. 3 minute, 1 minute stuff, oatmeal. Don't want any of this oatmeal that goes for 20 minutes where it's healthy and nutritious. I want some 3 minute oatmeal where it's all cooked out and gone up in smoke and chewy. Okay. Now, so you want to, you let things happen as they happen. Let nature flow its course. Be patient and enjoy and be healthy. Okay? So this is the part I want to pick up on as we come here to verse 26, after the parable of the sower. What are we going to say the kingdom is like? Verse 26, Mark chapter 4. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. You plant something. Beautiful thing, you know. Gives you a good feeling to plant. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. Not a after you plant it, there's not a thing you can do about it. You can nurture it and water it and cultivate it, but guess who makes it grow? The secret of that little embryo that God places in there that springs to life, and that plant and the leaves spring up, and they just grow and grow, and you got to be patient. You can't rush it up. You can't have a one-minute tomato plant. You can't have a one-minute pepper plant, okay? It takes time because God causes it to grow. And that's what he's saying here, is learn to be patient, okay? Don't be impatient. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. She handles it on her own. That earth that God's made a covenant with for us. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. God takes care of that. Okay? It just happens. And you got to be patient. Okay? Let the corn ripen. Then go for it. Okay? But be patient while you're doing it. But when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. You see, so many people, what he's teaching you is you may plant a seed somewhere and they say, oh, go on, go away. And you think, I failed. Oh, did you? You planted it. Now, did God say in this parable, you're going to make it grow? Uh-uh. God says, I'll take care of it. It's my business. If I want it to grow, that seed you planted in somebody's mind, I'll see that it sprouts. Nothing you can do about it, friend. You got to be patient. I thought I was the greatest teacher in the world, that I could just plant a seed and wham, they had to hear that and I'm home free. No, All you can do is plant the truth. And Father makes it grow. That's why he's telling you, don't give up on somebody. Don't pester somebody at the same time. Always protect your credibility. But plant a seed and know that it's there. And if it grows, it's God's will. And if it doesn't, it's not. Okay. Teaches you patience. Let's continue on a little bit here. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What do you think it's going to be like? Or what can we say it's like? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? How could we in the world, this world, compare something to God's kingdom? Do you know what a kingdom is? That's a king and his dominion. Okay? He's in charge. Got it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. You might plant a little seed of truth, just a little bitty thing. And just like if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can, real thing now, you can move mountains. That means nations. So you plant that little seed. And God has a way. You know that some of the mustard plants would grow up to a man's head on horseback in the area of this riding? That's how big they would grow sometimes. Okay. But that's how it works, okay? You never know. You plant the littlest old truth you could ever think of, and it could turn into a dynamo. Okay. It could turn into a whole ministry all on its own. You don't know. But I'll tell you somebody that does. Let your Heavenly Father. Okay. So be patient. Enjoy. Let God be God. Let Yahweh be Yahweh. Okay? He is our Father. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. The thing is, you better know who the birds are. You don't want any dirty birds roosting in your mustard bush. Okay? And God expects you to be able to handle that. Okay? But one little seed. So a lot of people think, God just never uses me. I just never do any good. Oh, how many seeds have you planted? How many of them grew? It's none of your business. God will take care of that part of it. Do you know something? I got some news for you. Most seeds, the majority of seeds, will not take until you're delivered up before the false Messiah. And they hear the Holy Spirit speaking through your lips, and they're going to take a deep breath and say, they warned me, she or he warned me of that. And then that seed begins to grow, and they begin to come out of confusion. But it's going to happen. Be patient. Let Father be Father, and let His Word be the Word, for His Word is the truth. And the truth, always, when God makes a covenant with this earth, you can count on it. Not going to be any global warming to speak of. Why? Because we're going to always have cold. Okay. And we're always going to have some warming, or we'd be back in the ice age again. Okay. God knows what He's doing. So let God be God and you be yourself, humbly, with patience, serving Him. All right, let's go to the book of John, I believe we're going to go. John chapter 4. Excuse me. Who does God pick to plant seeds? Jesus did a wonderful thing here with this woman at the well. You know whose well it was? I mean, this is actual fact. The well was dug by Jacob and his family. It was about 115 foot deep. Okay, it had about 15 foot of water in it in 1860, I think it was, measured. But it was a well of watering for God's children. Okay. But Jesus wanted to deliver a message. He walked quite a ways to get here. He's by himself. It was against the law for a man to speak to a woman that was alone. But Jesus spoke to this woman. Who does God use to plant seeds? Let's pick up on it. John chapter 4, verse 13. They're at the well, okay, and Jesus is talking to her, and she said, "Oh, my parents and my people have been coming to this well for years and years." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You drink out of this well, you're going to have to make another trip, and you're going to have to get more water. You're going to have to refill up your jug. Okay. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Have you had that well in you? Do you produce water of truth? Do you plant seeds sometimes? I mean, you don't have to be a preacher. I'm not saying that. That's not what God wants you to be, maybe. Okay. And maybe He does. That's between you and the Father. A lot of times they'll see a big GP in the sky, and it doesn't mean go preach. It means go plow. Okay, so a lot of plowboys. Right. But what you do, that you share, you partake of that well that quenches your thirst, because you got eternal life. And you plant those seeds that give eternal life, that Christ is Savior. And you share that, and it grows. And you take care of that thirst with patience, with courtesy, and dignity. You pass that on. You become a well yourself. What a wonderful thing that is. We have one set of religions, they call themselves Bereans. Ber in the Hebrew tongue means well, water. Okay? They pass on water. Supposed to, anyway. And so, verse 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. I don't want to make this hot sun. I don't want this hot sun. I don't want this long trip down here carrying these big old water jugs. I want to stay home. Just give me that and I'll be there forever. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Why I'm doing this, who does God use to plant seeds? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. He told her whole life right there. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. 21, and Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what. You know what we worship for salvation. We know what we worship for salvation is of the correct translation, Judah. Well, that's where the throne is. But the hour cometh, I mean, it's going to happen. And now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him wherever they are, whenever they are, whatever time they are. Now let's analyze this just a little bit. What would most churches do with this? I say most. What would some churches do with this? Let's don't judge them.
Well, we have a woman. I mean, look at her.
Five times divorced. To them, unpardonable sin. Well, it's not. Okay? It's not the unpardonable sin. And she's living with that old boy now. Let's stone her. Let's get rid of her. Make her go to the back of the church. We can't use her. What did Jesus do about it? I mean, he walked up and talked to the woman. She didn't just kind of bounce out to him. He started this, basically. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. She did know that because of the study of Jacob. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, this is one of the times he declares it, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm Messiah. I am that Christ. He says this to this woman. Now, like I said, there's a lot of churches wouldn't even talk to that woman. He declared, I am the Christ. And unto this came his disciples, and upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or, Why talkest thou with her? I imagine the power of the Holy Spirit was so strong, they didn't dare. Just because it was against the customs of men, not God, the customs of men, they were drawn back a little bit. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And away she goes into a town. This sinner woman. I'm not calling her a sinner woman. They did, okay, most likely. Then they went out of the city and came into him. I mean, she gathered the crowd. She brought the church, okay? She brought the congregation. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They were worried about him. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did someone of you slip him something? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's got to be done, my friend. It's got to be done with patience, with knowledge, with understanding, and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, got this? 4 months, and then cometh harvest, the harvest time, the reaping time. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, open your eyes and look, even and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Look at all these people gathered here that need the truth, that need a word of encouragement, need a little help. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. This is important, beloved. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. Not just in the barn, life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, the prophets of old started this. They planted, we reap. You didn't have that much to do with it. But with patience, you plant seeds and you reap the seed that the prophets of old and Christ himself planted. That's what he's talking about. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. We're family. We get it done. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The prophets of old, the truth. You teach it. You pass it on. You study it. It's called the Word of God. It strengthens you. It enables you. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Many of them believe because of what that woman said. That's not the right reason, beloved, but that's her start. Okay. That's why Christ sent her. You might say, well, he didn't tell her to go. He didn't have to. The Spirit did. She was overjoyed. He told me he is Messiah. And she vivaciously went into town to pass that word on. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. Okay. Not three, not four, but 2 days. Okay. The witness, okay, witness of truth. And many more believed because of his own word. Not hers, his own word. That's why you believe today is because of his word. And said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. After 2 days, he departed there. What a lesson to be learned at Jacob's well. Jacob, who tilled the earth that God made the covenant with, that there would always be heat, there would always be cold. There would always be planting, there would always be harvest, there would always be winter, there would always be summer. That it is, even though man is evil, God loves this earth. That's why he's going to set his eternal kingdom up in this earth. It is written in Revelation chapter 21 that he will do exactly that. Now, when you are seed planting, I want you to go with me to Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 3. Sometimes you have to be a little careful. You have to use the power of God in planting seeds. John the Baptist, not Christ, but John the Baptist is baptizing by the River Jordan. I mean, people are coming out in droves, repenting, and believing. What shows up on the horizon? This is why we're coming here. You want to be careful how you sow and who you baptize. Okay? I'm not saying, by that I mean you rest with, okay, fellowship with. Verse 7, as the droves are coming out, what does John look up and see in verse 7, chapter 3, the great book of Matthew? And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, these are Kenites, beloved, he knew it, he saw them, he identifies it here in a moment. He said unto them, O generation, this word in the Greek is offspring, you offspring of vipers, the old snake in the garden, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In other words, that's what the truth is about, is warning people so that they straighten up and find salvation, become wheat rather than chaff, because the fire is coming. That's how God judges us, by fire, a consuming fire. Not the fire that you think of that takes fuel and oxygen and heat, but the Holy Spirit. Simply, He speaks and something becomes nothing, where like He spoke and nothing became something. Okay, so go a little deeper level there. So warn people, but be careful. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meant for repentance. You show me the evidence. That's what he's saying. I want to see evidence that you want to repent, not that you're play-acting. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, God will use whomever He will. He offered a wedding. Nobody came, so He opened it up and said, everybody come. Come on in. Take part. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Okay? Hey, produce or not. That's it. The way it goes. Okay? So planting seeds is a very important thing, and it pleases God. He smells a sweet savor, and then He blesses you. I indeed, John the Baptist speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire is the power of God, dunamis, that gives you the power and the authority to operate, to carry forth that truth in a simple, courteous way. Whose fan, do you know what kind of fan this is? It's a winnowing fan. Whose fan is in his hand that he may thoroughly purge, cleanse, okay, his floor and gather, reap, that is to say, his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so it is that he does with fire cleanse. And again, it's not the fire that we have hell fire, and then we have God the consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. He gets rid of that is evil. In conclusion, let's go to the book of Revelation. Let's complete with the great harvest, the great reaping. Chapter 14. Verse 13. Chapter 14, verse 13. Listen carefully. And I heard a voice from heaven. Where is this voice from? Heaven. Okay? Not earth, from heaven. saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Why do your works follow you? That's what you're judged by. How do yours stack up? Hey, it's in the book. It's written in the book of life. Your works. It's there. And you know something else that's there? If your works are bad, they're there. That's why repentance is so important. You get those bad ones erased, but the good ones stay. That's your payday. That's what you're blessed by. And you don't even have to wait to begin to receive those blessings. You can receive them today, okay, in part. But they do go with you. You don't want to forget that. That's why it's important. Verse 14, I looked and behold a white cloud, and on the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man. Well, wondering who it was. Well, it just told you. Okay, it's Christ himself. Having on his head a golden crown, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only crown there will be. And in his hand, a sharp sickle. It's harvest time, friend. Reap, 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 okay? And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. It's time. It's the hour of temptation is over. And we're going through with it. Antichrist has already been there. He's deceived as many as he can. Let's gather the gold of the master's crown right out of the people. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. Where is it? In heaven. Where is heaven? Wherever God is. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire. This is important. Over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. That harvest time is coming, beloved. It's going to be a sad time for some. Because why did your works follow you? It's what you judge by. Okay? The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And some people just start shaking in their boots. What was that winepress? The wrath of God. Is God angry at you? I'll ask it again. Is God angry at you? The answer? Not if you follow him. Not if you love him. It's only those that don't love him that go into that okay, to be kind of judged by fire. Incidentally, you're talking about grapes. You don't harvest grapes with a sickle. You know that, don't you? So it's letting you know that something is being said here. You have to kind of put a little bit of this to understand, and it's tested by fire. Have you ever read the last verse of chapter 12, the great book of Hebrews? God is a consuming fire. Okay? He's the one doing the judging, and you better be proud of that. Because he's not going to put some bad trip on you, because he even knows what you think. Okay? He's got right down to the nitty-gritty. Okay? He's qualified, because he knows. He knows what you're thinking even. So don't let somebody frighten you that you're going into this vat of the wrath of God when God's not angry at you. He loves you. So it's not talking to you. Okay? Verse 20, And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even into the horses' bridles, but by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's about 200 miles. That lets you know, many people say, well, I don't know how anybody could be deceived. There's going to be a lot of them deceived. You can count on it. And does that make me happy? No, it doesn't. Because teachers should do a better job of teaching God's Word. Seed should be planted that prevent and draw people out of that wrath, to whereby they're pleasing to God. It all started back in the garden, where clean That that was clean was sacrificed to God. He smelled that sweet savor. He loved it. So when that great press comes, be clean. Be that that gives God a lift. Let God say, that's my child. I love him. Love him, love him. Not into the wrath pit, okay? So the reaping is coming. Theroidzum. That is to say, harvest, reaping. From theros, which means heat, summer. The very word itself comes from summer. And that summer is approaching. It means the end of time is coming. We get closer and closer. So what do we have to worry about? Nothing. We have other things to rejoice about. Father loves his children. And it doesn't give him any pleasure to have to zap somebody. He would much rather give them a big hug. But you have to earn it. This is why John the Baptist said, let's see some evidence that you're worthy to be baptized. Most of them, being Kenites, did not show him any evidence. They weren't baptized. Old John the Baptist was pretty tough. He stopped with the axe right to the tree. He let them, I mean, he stood his ground, and sometimes you have to do that. Gentle, firm, God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the Word. We know the reaping is coming, Father, the harvest. And thank you, Father, that you give each and every one of these a part in that, Father, and gently planting those seeds, and we know you cause them to grow or not. That's your business, and we trust you and love you for it. Be with us this day, we ask it in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.